everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Fever Podcast. This is episode 60, a very special one. I'm your host, Holly Felmuth, and I am joined this week by Matt Dezen.
Hello, Holly.
And by a special guest, Anthony DeVirgilis.
How's it going? I guess the number 60 is special because I'm here. Is that why?
Partially. We definitely wanted to have somebody special on here. So, anyway, one of the biggest reasons this episode is special is because this will be our YouTube debut. So go check us out on YouTube. There's actually a little incentive for those of you who feel inclined to comment on the podcast on YouTube. And of course, we'll give you the link to that in the description of the podcast so you can go over there. Anybody who comments on the YouTube video, this being our big YouTube debut, is going to be entered to win a $10 eShop gift card. North America only, just because, you know, Nintendo continues to believe in region locking, and so North America only, but everybody is invited to come and comment. Just let us know what you thought about the episode, or send us questions, whatever you want to say in your comment. So just be aware of that. This giveaway will be going for about a week. The episode should be published on YouTube on Tuesday, the 3rd of May. So we're just going to have it going up until, let's see, what's 1 week from that day? The 10th of May.
Yep.
So that's your last chance. That's when we're going to pick us a winner for also, that $10 gift card.
Also, don't forget to share the video on YouTube. One of the nice things about us going to YouTube, one, we're doing it because of the audience that we have, and we understand that there's a bunch of different ways that you like to consume media, and one of those ways is using YouTube. Something I like to do when I hop on YouTube is I find a couple videos, I line them up, and I kind of watch them one after one, but I do also grab like a video podcast, and I'll put it on in the background if I'm working or doing some other things. So it's just one more way to experience the podcast. As Holly said, obviously it's going up Tuesday, which will be a day later than the actual podcast, so if you do listen to the podcast, you'll still be able to get it the exact same way. But if you are watching it on YouTube, or if you're listening to the podcast, either or, please remember to share it. I mean, the best way for us to grow our audience and do these kind of cool giveaways, like Holly's wanting to do with giving away a $10 eShop card so you can go out there and get some of the new games that are coming out soon or did already come out, is by having an audience that, one, interacts with us, and one, shows not appreciation necessarily, but obviously what we're doing is something that you're interested in us doing. So leave comments. Let us know what you think. Let us know if being on YouTube is something that you're glad that we did or didn't do, one or the other. But yeah, hit us up and let us know exactly, you know, what's going on. And please remember, share the podcast. And as Holly always remembers to say at the end of every episode, leave a 5-star review on iTunes, because that helps immensely.
Yep, all of the above. Speaking of $10 gift cards or eShop cards, not that this really applies to eShop necessarily, but the first topic on our list that we're going to talk about today, and just so you listeners know, we're actually nixing the what we've been playing, who's that Pokemon, and recent swag sections this week, because we have oodles of great Nintendo news tidbits to talk about this week, and so we wanted to really dedicate all our time to that. The first of those is Humble Bundle, and I believe I didn't look at the most recent Nintendo Humble Bundle very closely, but I believe that you can get a pretty good group of games with under $10, and then a little over $10, like $13, you can get even more. But I'm not a Humble Bundle, you know, frequenter, so I'll actually just pass this one on to you guys to talk a little bit about the most recent Humble Nindy. This isn't Humble Nindy Bundle. They gave it a different name,
huh? This is called Humble Friends of Nintendo Bundle, which I think is a really cool name for it. Anthony, are you familiar with Humble Bundle besides the last Nintendo Humble Bundle?
Yeah, I purchased a lot of PC-based ones, so yes. I mean, there you just can't beat the deals that they give on them. This one is really cool because not only is it Nintendo, but they actually have some like third-party retail games on there.
Well, like, everything is third-party, which is kind of the cool thing about this Humble Bundle, I thought, is it shows Nintendo's ability to like reach out to their partners and try to do something cool like this. Like, besides selling their own stuff, they're also wanting to sell, you know, their partner stuff. I mean, obviously, when you buy a Humble Bundle, you give so much money to a charity, so much to the publisher, and so much to the website. So all this money is being distributed really nicely between everybody, which is obviously really cool. But there's really cool games in this Humble Bundle. I know, Anthony, you love affordable space adventure, right?
Oh yeah, that game's absolutely great. And what I meant by third party, I guess I should have clarified that. I meant like AAA third party, like from Capcom THQ and, well,
Sega?
Formerly THQ and Sega. Yeah, exactly. Where you got games like Street Fighter 4 3D Edition, Darksiders 2. The Sega one's the Rhythm Thief.
Rhythm Thief.
Yeah.
Yep. That's actually the one that caught my eye. I love me a good rhythm game, and that's one that I've been, you know, sort of interested in since it came out, and so that was kind of the one that made me think, maybe I'll just do
this. And it's really hard to find as well, so...
Yeah, it's true.
And it's cool for me personally that loves to collect the physical game, because I already own Street Fighter and I already own Darksiders 2, but I can buy these and now download them to my system, and I never have to touch my cart or disc again, which just is like an incentive for myself, I get to keep those in pristine condition and never have to worry about it, but still play. Like Darksiders 2, totally
factor.
Underrated game. Awesome. Oh, yeah. It is an awesome. And, you know, I know it's rated mature, but it is definitely a teen game with a mature rating for some reason, because it's nothing. There's no cursing and there's really not that much violence, especially because they're not humans. They're demons and crap like that. But it's a very, very, it's Zelda. This is a Zelda video game right here.
Just kind of on the darker spectrum, I suppose, but
yeah,
some pretty impressive. I didn't realize that retail games would ever appear on a Humble Bundle like this, especially Nintendo ones, because you don't see Nintendo on Humble Bundle a whole lot.
And they are older games, obviously, like nothing. Darksiders 2 is a launch game. Street Fighter was a launch game. Rhythm Thief is not a launch game, but it's not that old.
New?
Yeah, that new. It's pretty old. Let's run through the games real quick. If you pay $1, this is $1. All you got to do is pay $1 or more, and you get Retro City Rampage DX. Awesome game. I don't know if any of you, either one of you have played it. I love that game. Affordable Space Adventure. We already got the huge okay from Anthony. Shantae and the Pirate's Curse. This is also an awesome game that I've never played, but I know that it has a great reputation, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then moving on, if you beat the average, which right now at the time of this recording is $9.77, you get Freedom Planet, which is basically brand new. I mean, it's what, 3 weeks removed, something like that, maybe a month.
Is that the Sonic clone game?
Inspired one, yeah.
Yeah.
Very new game. Okay. Rhythm Thief. Also comes with that part. Citizens of Earth, which I've always heard mixed things about, but hey, you're paying $10 and you get a bunch of other games along with it. You might as well give it a try. You also
as
get
an Earthbound fan, I approve of Citizens of Earth, just like I thought I'd shout that out there.
Ooh, that excites me, because I want to play Earthbound, but it's a little dated every time I sit down and try it, but I want to give this a shot because it looks really interesting. Also, for the $9.77 average price as of right now, Retro City DX Nintendo 3DS Home Menu Theme. Not the most exciting thing, but still kind of a cool extra. And then if you pay $13 or more, you also unlock the Super Street Fighter 3D Edition and Darksiders 2 for the Wii U. And then this coming up Tuesday, so the day you're listening to this, if you go to humblebundle.com, you'll probably already be unlocked, but there's actually more games paying. And as long as you beat the average, then you'll automatically receive those games as well. This is over $170 worth of video games. And like I said, if you just want to pay $1, Shantae Affordable Space Adventure and Retro City Rampage DX, that's already almost $50 right there that you're getting for $1.
Yeah, and put it toward charity if you want.
Yes, and you can put it all towards the SOS Children's Village and code.org, which is one is obviously to help with children, and the other one is a coding program to help children learn about coding. And it's just, Humble Bundle is the coolest thing that there is in existence when it comes to getting indie games, especially normally. But it's so cool that Nintendo partnered with them. And this is, like we said, the second time they've done this. And I don't want to get, like, I'm already, like, feeling like, oh, man, this is going to happen every year. But it's just really cool.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
for
and
sure.
Affordable Space Adventures is worth every bit of the $20 that it costs on the eShop. So for a dollar, that's ridiculous.
You can get every one of these games as of right now for less money than it would cost you to buy a single one of them.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It is. So, yeah, definitely go jump on that. It is, I mean, it has left me speechless, clearly. So, yeah, I think Matt just convinced me to go jump on that, actually. I may just pay the $13.
Holly,
yeah, I'm actually going to do that after the podcast.
Oh, I bought it. I bought it day of. As soon as I saw a Nintendo bundle, I was like, well, that's bought. The other one that they're doing right now too, it's I know this is kind of a tangent, I'm sorry to go off, but they're also doing one that includes Ollie Ollie 2, Holly. And
Ollie 2, Holly. Yeah, I better get that one.
Do you remember when I told you that about the genre of dating sims? And there was one about a pigeon dating sim. Okay, so that
Hayotol, or what is that? What is it called? Something like that.
Hotful? I don't know. But
I don't
trust
Matt's pronunciations, even if I don't know what the word is myself.
Anyways, that dating sim game that we talked about a couple weeks ago is on this Humble Bundle right here for $10. Plus, you get a bunch of awesome other video games as well that you may consider checking into. And also, Ollie Ollie 2, Holly, is available a part of that bundle as well. So you may check that out if you're on the website anyways. It only has like two more days left, so just check it out.
Glide from one to the other.
There you go.
All right, so yeah, definitely go jump on that to you listeners. But moving on, we have a few Nintendo-released news tidbits, like I said earlier, that are pretty interesting. I think they are definitely talk-worthy. We're gonna get into some discussion here.
I see the order you have it in, but can we start with what's actually going to release this year?
Sure. So, upcoming mobile games. Nintendo has actually revealed what its next mobile games will be. Not a lot of specifics, but we're getting something on based on the Fire Emblem series and the Animal Crossing series. They're separate, though.
And you know what's hilarious?
What's that?
Is I'm actually really excited about these games more so than anything that's coming out on 3DS or Wii U this year. Okay. Is that sad?
Believe it or not, I actually feel the same way, mostly because Nintendo continues to postpone Zelda, and I'm just like, you know what? It's so far away. We're not even getting NX at E3 this year. So all of that just seems so far away that it's like fall 2016, which is when we're getting these new mobile games. That's what I'm looking forward to at this point. Plus, what else is even coming out on Wii U and 3DS this year anyway, besides Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE, which I'm getting day one?
Paper Mario.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about it.
I'm on the fence until I see it.
Yeah. Same here. So, yeah. Fire Emblem, Nintendo's mobile app coming in fall 2016, is going to be a role-playing strategy game, so it'll basically, you know, follow kind of the same formula, I imagine, as the core Fire Emblem series. However, it's going to be more accessible than the core Fire Emblem series, and that's all Nintendo has said on it. So, does that make you interested in it, Matt? I'm really curious about that.
So, as I've said in the past before when it comes to their mobile games, I want to see Nintendo rip off other successful mobile games and just skin them with the Nintendo theme. And I know that sounds like blasphemy and a little bit weird and strange, and I agree. But there's a reason why some of these mobile games have already been previously successful. And I feel like, I mean, I've talked about it in the past before. I know Anthony wasn't here. So, Anthony, do you know what Clash of Clans is?
Absolutely.
All right. Anthony, imagine Clash of Clans themed like Legend of Zelda or Fire Emblem. What are your thoughts?
I would rather see Fire Emblem. For Zelda, I'm kind of more in, I don't know. I don't know how they can handle mobile Zelda. I'm thinking more of an over the head. But
yeah, my overall thought though is just the fact that like these, like Clash of Clans is already very successful and it has like that kind of like, it could be a high fantasy type game. I do think Fire Emblem actually fits it really well, just because it's making it a overly simplified RTS game. And even though I know most hardcore, I'm sure Holly, you may not want that necessarily, but I think Clash of Clans has a working formula, and obviously I don't want to see them overcharge people like Clash of Clans already does, but I do think that like, I like Clash of Clans, and I play Clash of Clans, and if Clash of Clans looked like Fire Emblem, then I would be playing Fire Emblem, and that'd be cool too.
Well,
you should
I think
just play Fire Emblem.
I think Clash of Clans is a good starting point, but I still think they need to put their Nintendo magic onto it. I hope more accessible doesn't mean more handholding. Because Fire Emblem already kind of does that at the beginning, and it's kind of annoying. But like once you
it
get going,
have
then
to be.
No.
Tutorials appear on the bottom screen. You don't even have to read them.
Yeah, I know, but pressing A, you know, gets tiresome just going through.
Fair enough.
But I feel like with Clash of Clans, it needs to be more turn-based, though, because that's kind of how the series is. So, like, I think if you made it more real-time in which Clash of Clans is, it kind of takes away from what the series is all about.
I agree, yeah. and I do see the need to change certain elements to it. But basically what I mean is, I see the cell phone as having having working examples of successful games already happen, and I'm okay with Nintendo saying like Angry Birds. Like, I honestly think Mario vs. Donkey Kong / Angry Birds would be a really fun game. They could incorporate the building of the stages. They could incorporate the different Marios, different Angry Birds, blah, blah, blah. And it would just be Angry Birds, which is fun. I don't care who you are, but, like, Angry Birds is not a bad game by any stretch. And I think it would be cool if it was themed out like Mario versus Donkey Kong.
Or you could do Pikmin, fling the little Pikmin at stuff because they have different weights and stuff.
There you go. Ooh. But do you see where I'm coming from? Like, I don't think they need to try and reinvent the wheel. That's my biggest thing is I think Miitomo is a cool social experience, and it's also a nice experiment in general. But I don't think every time they release something, it needs to be like, well, I mean, honestly, kind of like the Wii U. I love the Wii U and I love the gamepad, but it's sad when they have to try and innovate on things like Star Fox, where a lot of people, I'm not saying it was a bad idea, but I am saying that some people are not a fan of the, you know, you have to control it like this method. You know, luckily, Splatoon, for instance, they gave you the ability to use more or less traditional controls, even if it was with the gamepad. But I don't want them to take your cell phone and be like, well, we're going to design how this works and we're going to do something completely so off the wall and original that at least you know it's made by Nintendo in a way.
Well, I have a question. How many Clash of Clans, oh my gosh, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm brain dead tonight. Clash of Clans clones. How many Clash of Clans clones are there out there?
To my knowledge, there's only one that is, like, a successful...
that's the thing. If Nintendo just clones these other games, are they going to be able to break through it unique?
Yeah, I think so, because they are Nintendo. Like, you are going to have that name behind it that says, this is Nintendo, this is Fire Emblem. The gameplay is just similar to something that people already recognize and like, which is also going to help them get gamers that are not... that don't care about the Nintendo name. Like, I think that Miitomo, honestly, as much as it benefits from being made by Nintendo, and I'd love to hear you guys' thoughts on this, I actually think it hurts it as well. I think that the fact that it says Nintendo in the title and it's called Miitomo are not necessarily instantly, like, positives for trying to get somebody to get it.
Yeah, well, I do feel that way a little. 10 million people still download it.
So
That's true, though.
10 million is not anything to... Oh, yeah, and I do think the 10 million is nothing to, like, you know, snuff at or anything, but other messaging apps have hundreds of millions, you know, like, we're at 10% of some of the most successful things, which is not a negative. I'm not critiquing them in the sense that it's a bad thing, but I am saying that I don't know if it being made by Nintendo is immediately the most beneficial part of this. I just don't know.
Well, for Miitomo, I don't think it's necessarily that good of a thing, because a lot of people who don't really know that much about video games, they probably see Nintendo and they think, like, whoa, that's got to be some kind of hardcore thing where I have to, you know, a big learning curve. Somebody who has never played a Nintendo game, if they don't realize, like, this is just a social app, it's totally harmless, then, yeah, they might see Nintendo and think, like, oh, that's, you know, hardcore gaming stuff, because Nintendo, they are a game company, and that's what they have come to be known as. And so non-gamers probably see Miitomo or Nintendo and think it's going to have some kind of big difficulty curve, which is kind of silly when you think about it. But
Miitomo kind of has the same identity crisis that the Wii U has, and where it doesn't really know what it wants to be either. Like, it wants to be a game, it wants to be a social app, but it doesn't do either one necessarily good or bad.
I just thought of this right now. You guys realize that Miitomo is basically the old Club Nintendo.
Yeah.
It's just a survey after a survey after a survey.
Exactly. It's just a vehicle to drive us to the My Nintendo website and to see what we want and what we don't want.
Oh my gosh. They did it. They surveyed-ized something. I can't believe I fell for it.
It's kind of like the old Wii app as well. Remember the everybody votes on the Wii? It's basically that.
At least that felt less survey-esque. This is, like, so survey heavy.
I wouldn't agree with that. I feel like everybody votes just being like, you know, two different sides that you could go on, and you saw the results very clearly.
That's what I
said. That felt survey-like. Oh, really? I don't feel like that with Miitomo, actually. When I first got Miitomo, I was a little down on it for some reason, because I thought like, oh my gosh, nobody's downloading it. I was like somehow nervous for Nintendo for some reason. But now that I have gotten so over nerdy. That, I am actually enjoying the heck out of it. So... I like Miitomo, but whatever. Let's move on to Animal Crossing.
Yes.
So the Animal
I'm
Crossing
with you.
App,
I enjoy Miitomo as well.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate that. The Animal Crossing app, and I kind of pulled this off Nintendo's press site, is designed, quote unquote, so that it will be connected with the world of Animal Crossing for dedicated gaming systems. Okay, now what does that mean?
So a lot of people rumor... Mill, you know, obviously
the
instantly
rising away.
Yeah, rumored really quickly, and the biggest rumor that I heard so far was that Animal Crossing New Leaf would somehow be patched to take advantage of this.
Yeah, that's what I have been wondering myself. I'm like, is it gonna connect with your 3DS somehow? I don't know.
I would assume that it means that in future Animal Crossing titles they will connect to it. I don't know. Oh my gosh,
NX is gonna launch with an Animal Crossing game, and you'll be able to connect your cell phone. And that app with Animal Crossing on NX in March 2017.
I mean, careful you don't hope for too much, because that's why us Nintendo fans always get hurt.
Disappointed.
Yes.
Yeah, so I haven't heard any rumors, but how I would make an Animal Crossing game on the cell phone is I would make it like your own island. So let's say you have Animal Crossing. You have your town. Now when I leave to go to my island, that's my cell phone.
Game. Okay.
I would say
it's attached to the main game, but it's different. So I always have my character, I always have my game, but it's two separate entities.
Okay.
I think I like the idea of the island, but I think it should be your home. I think that you know,
like Happy
Animal
Home
Crossing,
Designer?
Not Happy Home Designer. Sorta. I mean, like, your literal home in Animal Crossing. Like, let's just dream outside the box for just a minute. I know I'm just going to be hurt later, because that's what Nintendo does to me. But let's say you buy Animal Crossing for the NX, and you have your normal big old village, and you go inside your home, and you decorate your home, and you buy things for your home, blah, blah, blah. When you access it on your phone, it's basically cloud-saved, and you're able to enter your home while you're playing the game. But if you leave your house, your actual house, your home, the place you sleep in, it's really confusing with Animal Crossing, I feel like.
Yeah.
But you leave your home, you have your phone in your pocket, you take your phone out, and you get to the Animal Crossing app, and you're still able to interact with things that are happening inside of your home. You can send mail to different residents. You can decorate stuff, you know? I don't know. It's simple. I don't have all the kinks worked out, but I'm also not a game designer.
It is. I know. I feel like I'm that way, too. I should have mentioned this probably at first, but Nintendo has specified that both apps will be pure game applications, is how they word that. More info will be coming, of course, before the release. But pure game applications, Nintendo has specified that they're definitely going to have more game-like elements than Miitomo. And so I feel like you say, your vision of an Animal Crossing app is a little simplistic. But I definitely think it could use more. But that's another thing I wonder is, will the app be dependent on whether you have another Animal Crossing game on a dedicated gaming console? And how is that even going to work? Like, what if people mistakenly pay for it and then realize like, oh, I have to actually buy Animal Crossing? I guess maybe Nintendo would sell a couple NXs that way if Animal Crossing did come out on that system, but...
Luckily, I think Animal Crossing is... I think Animal Crossing is the perfect game for your cell phone app. I don't know about you guys, but like it really sounds like it's going to be a very positive experience, and it's something that I think instantly is viable for a cell phone environment. So I think Animal Crossing is a very popular series. So I think that this is
very
definitely
accessible. So it'll be good for, you know, younger kids, older people, you know, whoever.
I hate saying this because I always say it whenever we talk about things that I'm excited for, but it's like, I'm excited for what they're going to show eventually. But like, I legitimately am. I have nothing more to say besides like, I want them to show me so I know what to be excited for now.
Yeah. If anything, it'll make it easier to have the game be more social, because that's the one struggle I've always had with Animal Crossing games, is it's hard to find friends that are playing it. It's hard to find people that are playing it. At least on the cell phone, it makes it a lot easier to be social with other people in the game.
Because
world.
They definitely should, at least. Like, Miitomo lets us have friends that are online. So considering Miitomo does it, also this Animal Crossing game, whatever it is, should also do it right.
And yeah, Pokemon Shuffle does now as well. Have you seen the latest update of that?
I have not, for the phone.
Yeah, you actually like build your friends list now. It's not just your Facebook friends.
Interesting. I haven't used Pokemon Shuffle all that much on my phone because I got so far in it on my
3DS.
Anybody else annoyed at that when you do like a tutorial on one thing and then you download it for something else and it gives you the exact same tutorial?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
That's why I actually don't play demos of games. Is that exact reason.
Yeah, I'm just so annoyed. I mean, I know it's like first world problem, but like still, like, why do I have to do this tutorial? I've already sunk over 10 hours of gameplay in Pokemon Shuffle and I have to start at the beginning again. Kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, hopefully Nintendo's kind of learning to move away from that, because a lot of people, you know, don't like, and this is kind of a different problem, but don't like, you know, the tutorial heavy beginning sections of Zelda games, and so... And they complain about it. I hope Nintendo is hearing those complaints. So give us the option to skip tutorials. Give us a Zelda game that doesn't have such a huge opening. And you know what? A Link Between Worlds, which is actually the most, it came out in 2013. Long time ago now, but it is actually the most recent original Zelda game that... Oh, hang on, Triforce Heroes. Who counts that one anyway?
I mean, it's not a Legend of Zelda game.
Yeah... But either way, though, both of those games don't really have that, and so I think maybe hopefully Nintendo is learning from that and such. But let's talk about the NX, which I put first on the list here.
So the yeah, NX... sorry about that.
Oh, no worries at all. No worries at all. The NX is planned for launch in March 2017, Nintendo has stated. First of all, I want to know, do we think that it's actually going to end up being postponed, possibly? Because I feel like this is pretty far in advance for a... Like, oh my gosh, what if we actually ended up not getting it until holiday 2017? But do you think there's a chance?
It's going to be 2017. It's going to be very limited quantities at launch. That's what I think it's going
to
be.
They're definitely going to try and do the supply and demand. Yeah.
Yeah. I seen like they were hoping to get 800,000 units at launch worldwide. I'm like, that's very low for a new console launch. So they're going to make it look like it's impossible to get, and then they'll beef up holiday 2017.
Okay, sounds pretty good. So you're still pretty positive and optimistic that it will launch on time.
Yes.
March 2017, like Nintendo has said. If they don't launch it, then it's like we've kind of talked about already. Like, there is a drought coming for the Wii U. It is coming. I don't. Besides, let's see, Tokyo Mirage Sessions and Paper Mario, which nobody seems to care about anyway. I mean, what have we got to look forward to on the Wii U? So I don't think Nintendo could get away with launching the NX later than March of next year. So
I completely agree with that.
Yeah. So hopefully they can make that happen. Make it happen, Nintendo, or everyone will kill you.
I seen a tweet earlier. I'm not sure. I think Matt retweeted it, but someone had posted how like the Wii U and the 3DS had almost like all these same games on it.
Okay. I retweeted that. So that was from crazy list.
That was from you. So is that more proof, really, that the NX is going to be a handheld console hybrid? Like, really? I mean, are we at the point where it just needs to happen?
We are at the point where it just needs to happen, and it needs to happen. For more than just like us as fans, I think kind of want it a little bit, but it also needs to happen because let's realize a real truth about this next console of the NX. The NX is not going to be home to a lot of third parties again.
Give Nintendo a chance.
Nintendo is not responsible for third parties anymore. Hear me out on this. Nintendo is not responsible for going out and getting third parties to come to them. It's Nintendo's responsibility at this point to create an infrastructure and a system that third parties want to come over to. So,
okay, I get you now.
So Nintendo has to literally fill this with video games. I mean, we're going to have indies, which I think is really cool. I think Nintendo did a smart thing with the eShop, and they've done a good job with getting partnerships through indies and getting very cool exclusive games for indies. And I really do believe that whatever Nintendo does with the NX, it could be a very open system, just like Steam is. Steam is so cool because there's so much there and it's constantly being updated by not just AAA titles, but also by indies. And I think that's what we're going to see happen with the NX a lot. But because the Nintendo, won't have third parties to rely on like everyone else has in the past, they have to flood the system with video games. And the best way to do that is to have one system, you know, and I think we've already seen it happen, sadly, in a bad way with the Wii U and the 3DS kind of sharing, like the tennis game, for instance. The 3DS tennis game, pretty awesome, right? The tennis game for the Wii U, not very good. It was also quick and dirty. I wonder why. You know, right. You see what I'm saying?
Nintendo has kind of, you know, I feel like they're kind of half-hearted on what they're putting out on the Wii U at all right now.
It's just because sad.
They're like, we just got to put something out on there, you know?
It's just sad.
So that the current owners don't mob.
That the Metacritic average, and I know Metacritic doesn't matter a whole lot. I'm not trying to, like, say that it does. But it is sad to look at Nintendo's games that have come out this generation and realize that they are some of the most poorly reviewed video games that are first party for Nintendo, which is just, it's outrageous. You know, you look at the 64, the GameCube, the Wii, like all these things with first party support, the best games always came from Nintendo. And sadly with the Wii U, the best games didn't necessarily come from Nintendo.
Not consistently.
Exactly.
I think the Wii U's worst has been the last year, because before that it was really on fire. You had Donkey Kong Country, Tropical Freeze was great. Mario 3D World was great. Mario Kart 8's the best in the series, in my opinion.
You had
all these Splatoon, amazing new IP. You had all this amazing stuff. I think what happened is the shift went to the NX. I think they saw the Wii U wasn't selling. They're like, all our good titles, cut right now, put them on the NX, and we'll just release whatever, as Matt said, the dirty stuff on the dirty ports on the Wii U, just so we're not throwing away that user base.
Right. So, speaking of the NX, we're not actually going to find out about it at E3. E3, oh my gosh, everything about what Nintendo has announced about E3, it's very debatable, I feel like. For one thing, the NX is not going to be at E3. It will be unveiled later on this year after E3 at some point. Zelda for the Wii U and the NX, now we know, yes, Zelda is going to be on Wii U and NX. It'll launch simultaneously, I'm assuming, you know, in March 2017 along with the NX, because if that's not a launch title, what on earth is Nintendo going to put as a launch title? Anyway, but Zelda for Wii U and NX is going to be the focus of E3, and the game will be the only playable demo on Nintendo's show floor, which I think is absolutely insane. Nintendo is putting all of E3's weight onto Zelda for Wii U and NX's shoulders. So how do we feel about all of that?
One, I think they have a lot of confidence in. So two things. This is the way I feel about the news that got released. One, it's crazy that all this news got released on a random Wednesday in the very end of April.
Yeah, like 2 a.m. Mountain Time when I was asleep. Thank you, Nintendo.
It wasn't random. It was their shareholders meeting.
I know, and I know that they always release information like this during the shareholders, and I get that. But also, this is information that could have easily been put in a direct afterwards, or something that was a video package, something that made it feel like it was presentable and something that didn't feel so business-esque for no reason. And also, they've had business meetings in the past. This financial briefing is not a new thing. It happens all the time, and there's plenty of times where they have information to release and they hold it till E3. So big news, Nintendo doesn't care about E3. They're not done with E3 and the fact that they're going to show up and go there, but they are done caring about it to be something that brings attention to them. They want to control their message. They want to control what it is they're putting out there, which is fine, which they should, which there's nothing wrong with that. But it's so weird because I think we're trained as gamers and fans to believe that E3 is Mecca and it is important and it is something that we're excited for. It's sad because EA, Activision, Ubisoft, like third parties that have their own conferences there during E3 as well, they used to have like one Nintendo game a piece, right? They have nothing. So the only thing that we as Nintendo fans have during E3 is whatever Nintendo gives us. And we're now going to find out they're going to give us less than anything we could have expected this year. So it's just kind of sad on a fanboy perspective for me personally. I'm still excited, obviously, because E3, and there's a part of me deep down that's like, they're lying. They're going to show everything. And I got to convince myself that I'm crazy.
I'm sure they have some surprises, but it's not, I don't think it's going to be the NX. I don't think Nintendo would say, like, we're not putting the NX, you know, we're not revealing that at E3. And then, you know, surprise, surprise, we're revealing the NX at E3. I don't think they'll do that, but I still think that they probably have a few surprises up their sleeve. And so it's good to look forward to that type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I like to dream too.
I think they'll show off Fire Emblem and Animal Crossing, the mobile games we just talked about. And I also think they'll show a couple things for 3DS and Wii U. Now, they might just be eShop games or real small projects, but I think they'll have some stuff there to show, but they're not going to have it playable, obviously. But, you know, as somebody that's covered multiple E3s and, you know, on a site that covered every, you know, gaming console, it's very easy for stuff to get lost in the shuffle, especially when Nintendo does a direct, a non-live press conference that would only be like an hour long. And you know, I mean, yes, a console is always going to get talked about. It's definitely going to make waves. But to me, you know, why not make the waves on your own time in the middle of September when no one's talking about anything else?
That's a good point.
Yeah, but it shows that either they're going through some sort of bizarre transition period in a way, right? Like, and it still feels like they're still figuring out what's to come next to a point.
Yeah, it does feel like that. I don't think it's going to... Well, actually, you know what? Zelda, just the fact that a new Zelda game is going to be the focus, you know, that'll provide plenty of excitement for me. But, you know, there are some non-Zelda fans out there, I'm sure, who might be a little disappointed in finding out. Here's a question. In lieu of a live conference, over the past few years, Nintendo has done, you know, stuff that is live, but it isn't actually a live press conference. They did the World Championships last year, and then the year before that, I believe, was the Smash Brothers Invitational? I think that's the order it went in. Anyway, yeah, we'll definitely find out. Nintendo's going to do something like that?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they will.
But what? That's the question.
You know, they're probably just going to have a blast ball competition.
Oh, dear.
No, they should do something for Pokemon.
Huh. That's not a bad idea.
Being it's the 20th anniversary and they have Sun and Moon coming out, they should probably do a Pokemon tournament.
But it's crazy that Nintendo, and even though Nintendo is a large shareholder in the Pokemon company, the Pokemon company and Nintendo still operate on two separate wavelengths. You know, Nintendo's like, we're going to announce what we're going to do for mobile. And then the Pokemon company, like a week or two later, is like, we're going to release Pokemon Go. Like, that wasn't Nintendo's decision. That was the Pokemon company's decision.
But Nintendo sees the dollars from it, so they don't really care.
I mean, maybe. Maybe they do. I mean, yes, they totally see the dollars, but I mean, maybe they care a little bit, because it does kind of look weird, I think, that Nintendo's like, we're going to do all these things for mobile, and then the Pokemon company kind of undermines what they're doing by doing it the way that they do. A little bit, I think, but I don't know.
Well, Nintendo and the Pokemon company, I think they can work well together if they want to, and so... Yeah, Pokemon being prevalent at E3 as well as Zelda, that seems pretty likely to me. So, and actually that makes me even more excited. I'm excited to see anything on Sun and Moon, for one thing. I'm also excited for when Nintendo announces that Generation 2, you know, the original Generation 2 Pokemon games will come out on Virtual Console. I just figured that was a given once Generation 1 came out.
But... I hope so, too.
But is that an E3 type of thing? Like, is Nintendo going to be like... biggest, you know, surprising news of E3, you're getting Pokemon Gold and Silver.
Yes, that
on
is
your 3DS eShops.
That is definitely
after selling 1.5 million copies of the other ones, I could say yes.
For sure.
Yeah, most profitable virtual console game ever, probably. Games, if you will. Oh, Nintendo and the Pokemon company just...
I mean, kind of...
scheming.
It's cool to hear the eShop's doing well, and I don't know if you guys saw the news that the North American eShop is doing the best out of all the other eShops, and they've seen real growth since 2013, and just a lot of positive things are going on about the eShop and how it's doing sales wise. But it is, I think, a little of a misnomer when we hear positive things, but then we have to have Nintendo like come in and be like, well, you know, we did sell 1.5 million copies of a game that we own all the rights to. Because then it's like the small indie guy over here is like, we're going to release a new game, and oh, nobody knows about us, but it looks like the eShop's doing good. It's easy to inflate a bubble, I guess, is what I mean by that.
Yeah. Hey, guys, yeah. I know we're almost done, but my daughter's lost interest in Curious George, so I am going to go take care of her, so I'm going to sign off. But it was nice that you had me on here, and I will talk with you guys later.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
All right, yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
See you later.
All right, bye.
Actually, I'm just going to kind of continue the flow of this. I forgot at the beginning of the podcast to mention that Anthony is actually a co-owner of NintendoFever.com. So that's why he was a guest on the show, for those of you listeners who were undoubtedly wondering why on earth we had an Anthony DeVirgilis on the show. That is why.
I guess we did, for some reason, kind of forget to, like, say, hi, who are you?
Yeah, we're just so darn excited about our big YouTube debut for episode 60. But anyway, I think, honestly, we might have reached a point where we can call it good on this conversation, unless you have anything else that you wanted to say, Matt. It was kind of good timing on Anthony's part, actually.
Yeah, no, I think that was actually pretty good. Honestly, there was a lot of cool news that was announced, and they're both it's a positive announcement, I feel, and a negative announcement at the same time, because it's a lot of information that we want, and we want it quickly and delivered to us the way that they kind of did. At the same time, it's also kind of like, you know, you're saying things that I don't know if I like them completely. It's kind of like,
I feel the same way.
It's kind of like the Animal Crossing and the Fire Emblem mobile news. It's like, oh cool, they're gonna release these, like, you know, core games, but then it's like, but what are they gonna do with them? You know, we don't know enough of information for them to have, I think, spent the amount of time that they did on talking about it the way that they did. But it's still exciting all the more, or less, you know. I want to be excited for E3. I am excited for E3, but I'm also excited for Nintendo to do something stupid and make me happy. I know that sounds weird, but I love their directs because of their funniness. I love Nintendo for releasing fun games, and I'm also a fan of criticizing them because I have nothing better to do in my life, I guess. I don't know. But
for, you know, 1 hour a week anyway.
1 hour a week at least, and whenever I'm on Twitter. But that's it.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Yeah, well, I feel the same way. I'm real excited for E3, mostly because Nintendo has shown this one card of Zelda's going to be the focus of E3. But
what else will be there?
Yeah, but I do get the feeling that they will surprise us, even if it's not with the NX. And so, you know, Nintendo's very good at surprising people. So I'm looking forward to whatever surprises are in store for E3 2016. And I'm sure that in future weeks for the podcast, we will continue discussing E3, predicting E3, especially if Nintendo releases any more, you know, small little bits of news between now and June. That's when E3 is, correct?
Yep, like, it's kind June 14th or June 15th, somewhere around that week area.
It'll be June, so for those of you who are wondering, just, you know, when June comes along, be like, oh, E3, I can look forward to that, you know. Anyway, thanks so much to you listeners, though, for listening to the podcast. I forgot another really important thing at the beginning of the show. Our Pokemon last week, our who's that Pokemon for you listeners to guess, it was Grottle, Gen 4 Pokemon. It's actually the evolved form of Turtwig, I think is the name of that grass starter Pokemon. So totally random, you know, Pokemon that I just took off of the Pokedex site. Ivan and Gentis were able to guess the Pokemon correctly, so thanks so much for letting us know your guesses. For all of you who guessed, and continue listening to the podcast for more Who's That Pokemon goodness. I know we kind of skipped that section this week, but if you liked it, it will continue starting in later weeks, so look forward to that. Don't forget about our giveaway. Head over to YouTube starting on the 3rd of May. That's the month that's coming up, yes. 3rd of May through the 10th of May. If you comment on this podcast on the YouTube video that we are uploading for this podcast, just, you know, thoughts, questions, anything that you have on your mind. If you comment, you're entered to win a $10 eShop card. Again, it works in North America only, but everyone is, of course, welcome to comment and share and like and all that jazz to our brand new YouTube video. So thanks in advance for doing that. If you'd like to talk to us in other ways, you can always do that. You can follow me at Holly Falmouth on Twitter. You can follow at Nintendo Fever on Twitter, and you can follow Matt
at only Matt Desen. And I just want to throw it out there too. Remember, please share the podcast. Very important that we get listeners of people that are interested in finding another Nintendo podcast. Obviously, we do things a little differently around here compared to most Nintendo podcasts. So it's kind of a nice little niche thing that we talk about some of the stuff that we do. So please do share, especially on YouTube. There's a share button, super easy to hit, and people will always click on a YouTube video usually. So yeah, but you can find me as always at only Matt Desen. But share the podcast, because the more viewer or more listeners and viewers that we may be having, the bigger contests we can do.
Yep. So thanks again for listening to our special episode 60 of the podcast. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
Bye.